Jerry. And when I would wake up in the morning, I did not appreciate what I saw in the mirror. I continued to eat, and I had the hardest time keeping my weight and my schedule and my exercise all together. That all changed after I got an accidentally fasting scale. I stepped on that thing, and every time I stepped on it, it would remind me to keep my schedule and continually forget about my diet. Thank you, accidentally fasting. I went from 350 pounds down to 180. Thank you so much. And now, for future release, an accidentally fasting t-shirt that'll continually getting smaller and smaller as you continually accidentally fast. You can get yours at accidentallyfasting.com.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hey. Welcome back to Accidentally Fasting, the pregnant episode.
This is the very special pregnancy episode.
Y'all, I have been waiting almost the entire time that we've been doing this podcast. Maybe you guys haven't, but we have.
Yeah, you guys have been probably sitting there like, please shut the fuck up about the pregnancy. Well, guess what? This is going to be just for you. And who knows, maybe you'll want to be pregnant after. I don't know. I'm going to make it sound very attractive to you guys. But can I just say something before we start talking about my expanding uterus? I'm really happy that my podcast host allows me to relax without pants on. You know what I mean? Because if I had another podcast host...
Like if you weren't doing it with me?
Yeah.
Why would I care?
No, I'm just saying, like, if I had another podcast host and I was, I wouldn't be able to just lay here without pants on.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know.
Your pants are unzipped right now.
That's true. So just, full disclosure, we're like laying in a bed. So you'll hear some rustling around. We're laying in a bed in Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah, so it ain't, it
which
sounds...
I think is like a Bohake reservation. Bukake. By Tsuke.
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say stuff like that, but yes, it's not, yeah, it's on the reservation, right?
But I think it's a Pohake.
Oh, Pohake, yes.
Yeah, pretty sure.
But
so we're chilling up here, we're taking a little bit of a, because this episode is part of the bank, the famous bank, AF Bank. We're taking a, what do you call this? It's not
this
like a baby moon?
No, it's a staycation.
Yeah, I guess it's a staycation.
I mean, it's like a mini baby moon staycation. I would say our Hawaii trip was a baby moon.
So this is like a one last little mini baby moon.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of risky to come because I'm about 38 weeks and, you know, I could honestly give birth at any time. And we are like an hour and a half away from Albuquerque. There's only one hospital that is like the super, super in-network, you know, hospital that I can deliver at, that I registered at.
Yeah.
So if I do happen to start, you know, contracting or whatever,
But shit, dude, this is half over. We're only staying here one night.
That's true.
So
hopefully the little booger doesn't, you know, we'll see. We got 12 more hours.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be in your inside of your oven, if you will, for two more weeks. So
that's true.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna come out.
I don't think so either.
But that is something, since we're doing the pregnancy episode, that's something that we have been concerned about, I would say, is that at any point in time, you know, somebody was like, do you guys want to go on this off-roading trip, you know, drive up the mountains, go to this tea kettle rock in Jemez? And I was like, I don't think that that's something that we'll be able to do.
Didn't he ask, like, in 2 weeks or whatever?
Yeah, like, he was like, do you guys want to go in, like, maybe 2 weeks? I was like, actually, in 2 weeks, we're having a fucking baby, so...
Well, even, like, going to Hawaii, because I was... Was I 28 weeks? So, like, you can, I mean, it's rare, but, you know, it's always a possibility of getting, you know, having labor, preterm labor...
Yeah, I think that,
So that was kind of scary, because I was like, shit, dude, like, that's going to be a fucking expensive birth in Hawaii.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I was like, dude, is there even any doctors there? I mean, no, not trying to be rude or elitist or anything, but I didn't know about the healthcare.
Well, I mean, they give birth.
Well,
I think we talked about that.
Like, I'm just recapping that. But anyway, so all is okay. I mean, I don't feel that I'm going to give labor anytime soon. I think he is cooking, as they say. Last my midwife checked up my pussy, everything is looking okay. So
that's good.
Do you guys like how I use those medical terms? No, please stop. Okay.
Vagine.
So how should we go about this episode?
From the beginning. So in the beginning.
So were we planning to have a kid?
And a woman.
The nosy people want
to
know.
I think the way that I put it is we were not planning not to. Right?
Yeah, that's how it usually goes with these situations.
Like, we were like, you know what? It's like we're at a point in our lives where it's a definite possibility where we could afford and survive with a child.
And we had just bought a house, and I just got out of a shitty job.
We both got better jobs.
Yeah. Like, I was, like, way less stressed, like, enjoying life, you know?
Well, and especially me, I was uber less stressed. My last job was horrible.
You switched jobs, like, was it before me then? Before?
Yeah, before you.
So, I started my new job on June 1st, and little did I know, I was, like, 4 days pregnant at that time, you
know? That's so crazy to think about, yeah.
So, like, obviously, our little babe, which now we'll announce his name. We'll wait. I think we already did announce his name, but I'm not going to do it.
I spilled the beans.
Y'all don't know, then you don't know.
Spilled the beans.
But,
You got to go back and listen to our past episodes.
Yeah. And
don't just stop right now. This is only going to be like an hour or whatever, but you guys got to go back and listen to all this whole, if you're tuning in, I mean, I watched our listens. We watch our stats. Somebody started watching around like fall, like 30 of you people out there. You joined us halfway through. So you got to go back and finish the other ones where, you know, start with Ted Brown. That was episode 3.
And listen to our episodes, like, from my first try, like, before we announced the pregnancy, and tell me how bitchy and, like, miserable I sounded.
Well, but you also hinted at it, like, really obviously sometimes.
Really?
Something's
what did I say?
Going on with me, and I don't want to announce it, but it's huge. So, well, yeah.
Well, it could have been, like, anything. It could have been cancer. It could have been hemorrhoids. I mean,
I don't know how big hemorrhoids are, but
They're pretty big. But anyways, so so like Alex was saying, we weren't necessarily planning. But for me, I've always had a life goal. Always. I mean, just the past like 10 years, it's like, okay, well, if I do want a kid, I want to do it before I'm 30 or by 30 or whatever. That was a goal for me just because I thought it'd be easier on my body to be younger. You know, I think like for me, just being, I think past 30, because I'm already a baby, you know, about everything. I feel super tired compared to when I was like 24 or whatever, 25.
Dude, yeah, life has changed so much between, like, 29 and 31 for me. Like, huge changes.
Yeah.
Like literally, like, 2 weeks ago, I got home from work, ate dinner, and went to sleep. And I slept, like, 13 hours.
But that
all,
could be, like, depression or prenatal
stress. No, I was just tired,
or
dude.
Whatever.
I don't have natals.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have pre or post natals.
Well, I mean, the men are still affected by it, which we'll talk about. But so, yeah, so that was always in the back of my mind. And then, I don't know, I just always, I think like women that use birth control, and I'm not going to tell you what kind of birth control we use, none of our fucking business, but women who are, you know, when you are prevent childbirth,
you're a sinner.
Pregnancy.
You fucking sinners.
No, I'm gonna say it
all.
Oh,
okay. I thought we were going down the high and mighty route.
If you are having sex and you are using methods to ensure that you are not pregnant, there's still something in the back of your mind that, oh, I might be infertile because we've never, you know.
Well, like, I would like to just state, what do you call it? A disclaimer? One of those stars at the bottom of the screen where it has a little subtext. everybody in Katie's family, there's three sisters, and they're always like, are we infertile? Are you infertile? Is she infertile? And I'm like, dude, you guys are fucking crazy, like, with the infertility shit.
It's not even, I mean, yeah, me and my sisters, but, like, I feel like a lot of, like, women I know, that's something that, you know, because I talk to friends like, that are...
What's the actual percentage of people who are literally incapable
of
conceiving?
I'm not sure. But anyway,
the amount of sisters and friends, I guess, is like 100% who believe that this is true. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. To me, it's like I'm watching all these people like, he's infertile, you're infertile, we're infertile, they're infertile.
And I think, are men more infertile than, like...
There's
no... No, but I mean, is when there's issues with getting pregnant, is it more the man or the woman?
I don't know.
I think it's even. I think I've read that, but... Anyways, so yeah, so whatever, just judge me, but I always thought, okay, I'm infertile, or Alex is infertile, and we don't know what's going on. So,
surprise, I ain't, motherfuckers.
So when we stop being as careful or whatever, like, I downloaded Ovia Fertility, just to track. Like, first, I just wanted to track my periods and stuff because I felt like I didn't really know I was kind of having, like, weird periods and, like, didn't know what was going on, really. Plus, just knowing, you know, when I was ovulating was helpful. And if we did end up, like, having sex during my ovulation time... Why am I acting like I'm in fifth grade or something?
I don't know.
What else should I say? You should just bleep out every time I say sex.
I don't know where you're going with this. I thought we were going to talk about being pregnant.
No, we are. I'm just like, dude, it's everything.
Oh.
Okay, I'll quickly go through. I just thought it was important if people want to get pregnant or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Just come in the pussy.
No, we actually put in a straw and then I had to go upside down and then...
There was that yoga move where you roll around like an egg.
Yeah, and then you had to go, what are we doing? What are we
doing? What is it? He's a good doctor and thorough.
So I downloaded that app and then sort of like tracked ovulation. And then ended up I downloaded that app, I would say it probably took like 2 months or something. And then I got pregnant. But
so what you're saying is it was the app.
Yeah, it wasn't you. What do you mean?
What changed with the app?
Nothing, though. Because, like, it wasn't like... Because at any point in time, I was not like, I'm ovulating, please fuck me now, you know?
I don't know about that. But, I mean...
No, but here's the thing. When you're ovulating, you're just naturally hornier. So it's like... I don't know. I just, I don't know what changed with the app. I think it was just us.
You think it's just correlation, not causation?
I just think it's us not, like, being protective. And then I had an app, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
So it was the consciousness that the app brought about.
Hold
on, people. Oh, there it was.
He had to take a shit real quick. This is kind of a gross episode.
Why is it gross?
Because I'm going to talk about hemorrhoids. I'm talking about sperm. And yeah, so, I mean, you guys, let's be adults. Also, me and Alex I've been married. You're not being an adult.
We have been married.
I've been married. Alex has been married for how many years?
Fuck, dude, I don't know.
I mean...
It doesn't matter how long we've been married.
Somebody just told me that it is a sin to not have sex with your... husband or wife, unless it's a dire medical issue. So that's what happened with us.
We had a dire medical issue?
No, I had a dire medical issue. I stopped having it, and then we finally had sex for the first time. And that's how I got pregnant.
I mean, we've been, at this point...
So do you think Ovia Fertility should sponsor me then?
Well, yeah, go shoot him an email and be like, yo... Guess what?
Yeah, I talked about hemorrhoids and cum in the pussy.
This is what makes me like hate the pregnancy stuff is like I'll be at work, you know, and people will be talking about, oh yeah, you know, my wife and blah blah blah, and we got pregnant and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is so weird because to me, normally at my job, like I can't go into work and be like, yeah, I just came in my wife's pussy last night. But it's totally fine to talk about being pregnant and delivering babies and shit.
Yeah, like, when did you conceive? Well, you know.
Right. Like, well, at the all-you-can-eat buffet the other day. It just happened to be that way, but...
Well, yeah, and then you don't want to hear about, you know, unsavory people, like, even thinking about them having sex. I mean, and think about how many nasty people have children, you know?
I mean, my boss at one point was, like, you know, telling me the story of his wife giving birth. Like, you know, we went to the hospital. She started having the contractions or labor or whatever, and she wanted to have drugs. And within 4 hours, she had given birth and was done. In 8 hours, they were home. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. But at the same time, it's super weird that you're telling me all this shit right now. Because we don't normally talk about, like, you know, I don't know. To me, pregnancy is all sexual, sex-related shit.
See, and it's so taboo in America. I think that's your upbringing, though. Like, because you grew up very, like, Protestant or, you know, Christian or whatever. And I think, like, I was just telling Alex this. There was some article on NPR of, like, pregnancy portraits throughout the hundreds of years. And it wasn't until, I guess, Queen Elizabeth, you know, somebody did a portrait. And
yeah, I thought you said it was Elizabeth and Martin Luther.
I'm pretty sure Queen Elizabeth never had a kid. She never got pregnant.
Bloody Mary?
That was Queen Mary, and I think she had a lot of miscarriages.
That fucking bitch. That's why she was called Bloody Mary.
So we should have a Tudor episode, because I know all the history about
Tudors. Dude, we will have
a Tudors
episode.
You may have not known that, but I have. I do. I will.
I shall.
So back, like, before... So in England, before the Reformation and before...
What is the Reformation?
That's when the Church of England took over the monarchy.
They kicked out the...
Before it was the Roman Catholic Church with, you know, Henry VIII and then his daughter, Queen Mary. And then Queen Elizabeth came in, his other daughter, and she was Protestant.
We're talking about, this is a pregnancy episode. You can't say just randomly that somebody came in somebody.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know what that means.
But anyway,
can I just interject real quick that I think it would be really sweet to have an episode where we talked about how if the Roman Catholic Church had maintained control over the English monarch.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. That'd be pretty dope. That sounds really interesting, but can we get back to the pregnancy?
Yeah, no, I was just saying, because you started getting into some stuff right there.
So back in the days, I guess with Catholicism, they were saying that it was, like, to be a virgin was super, super, you know, sought after. That was, like, the ideal of being a woman. And Martin Luther was the one that, you know, contested the Roman Catholicism and put the 10 rule or whatever.
Right, he nailed the paper to the door, and then then America was born.
So he differed. He said, no, like, having a bunch of children is a woman's greatest feature. So they started doing portraits of pregnant women.
I'm
going
to have to
then.
Say that's more of a bug than a feature, but okay.
Anyway, so and it was still controversial, though. Like, it was such a taboo thing, because these women, they were like, basically, if you saw a portrait of a pregnant woman, you saw death. Like, they would just automatically equate it with death, because childbirth was so
rancid,
you know,
and
it was so horrible. Like, tons of women, you know, it's just, that was the majority of the time was that they died.
Oh, because they had because they would go touch the dead people and then the vaginas.
Yeah, well, no, this is before that.
Oh.
So anyway,
I thought we were doing a full circle thing right there. I thought,
yeah, we could have, but we didn't. And then
they just didn't have psilocybin or whatever it is.
So it was an interesting article. It goes on and on. And so anyway, so being pregnant is just kind of a taboo thing. And I actually posted a scandalous picture on our story of my big old tum tum.
I saw that. You didn't even tell me you posted that.
What is that? See, you're all bugged by it. But
well,
like,
no, I logged into, I saw that we had stuff, you know, people had number one'd our story or whatever on the Instagram, and I was like, what story? And then I clicked it, and I was like, oh, okay, but I didn't realize that's what that was.
Yeah, I posted that in preparation of this episode, but I kind of forgot that this isn't even, like, getting released.
Well, no, shit, dude, we can do it right now. We'll release this right now. As the listeners listen.
So, and to me, like, okay, so I want to go into first trimester, second trimester, third.
Well, let's go into pre-trimester, okay? So right away, like, I'm sitting on the couch. I was really depressed for some reason, and I was also pretty drunk. And it just so happened to be Father's Day, which is right by my birthday and my dad's birthdays.
June 16th.
So my birthday is coming up. His birthday is coming up. Oh, it was right after my mom. There's all these birthdays right there. But so for some reason, I was depressed. And I was drinking. And I was probably eating chips and salsa on the couch.
No, you're eating Domino's. So damn. He was drinking all day. He was well, because your Jeep kept like exploding or whatever. So it was just like every second.
Oh, that was when I took in my Jeep.
Yeah, so it's just like every second.
She's better now, though.
Yeah, she is.
Right now.
So we were in this softball team, and oh, Alex was like, I was like, are you going to come?
That's what she said.
So are you going to go to the damn softball game? He's like, no, I'm depressed. I'm just going to order Domino's and drink. I'm like, whatever.
So I felt like
fucking shit.
I mean, I would like to say, though, that is something that has changed in the pregnancy, is that I am not the one who is like, we should order Domino's. I don't think I've ever eaten this much fucking pizza.
So anyways, I felt obligated to go to the softball game, even though I felt like fucking shit. I didn't know why, you know. No, now I know it's because I was pregnant, but normally I feel like shit before my period anyway. And then I got, you know, I went to the softball game. I got hit in the fucking face. I'm, you know, driving home and I just like can't stop crying. And then I was like, you know what? I need to get it. And then I just realized I was on the phone with my sister and I was like, okay, I'm 3 days late for my period. And my periods are usually, well, they have gotten more regular. Money. They're like first of the month, you know? Like wake up.
You drop a dime and you could hear the pin fall or whatever.
Yeah, so I didn't think I was pregnant at all. I was like, okay, well, I'll just get a test. And so I come home. Alex is just laying on the couch feeling sorry for himself. I don't even know.
Dude, that was
horrible.
He's like,
you want some pizza? I was like, no.
So just for everybody who's listening right now, so that I feel a little bit justified, like, what happened to my car? So I took it in first my master cylinder and slave cylinder went out. And then I had the master replaced. And the guy didn't do the slave at the same time. And that caused the clutch to not work. And then he replaced the little dinghy that goes between the clutch and the slave cylinder. And it was shifting rough, which it still fucking is. And then I took it into this dealership. Oh, I was helping somebody move. And my engine started vibrating like crazy and doing the beepy, beepy, beepy thing. And I was like, I know you're not supposed to drive when your engine's going crazy like this. But I got to get to the car dealership because we were flying to Alaska the next day. So I dropped my car off at the dealership.
You know, that timeline is really
wrong.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm just talking about all the stuff that happened to my car recently. So, and then I drop it off at the dealership, and it was like a spark plug. All my spark plugs need to be done. You know, normal maintenance, all the wiring for some reason replaced. And then I'm driving home, and the next day, my hose to the radiator is unplugged, unconnected. So I connect it. And then it explodes, and literally my radiator exploded. And so we had to get it towed, and I called the dealership, and it was a Sunday. And this is shout out to Larry H. fucking Miller in Albuquerque. Fuck you guys. Katie's pregnant. We're sitting on the side
Wait
of the
minute,
fucking
this
road.
This is before.
No, I'm telling you, this is like the first month or whatever, right?
Okay, so, but
I mean, this was ongoing for 2 months
depressed.
Or whatever. But no, I saw this coming is what I'm saying. I had a premonition of the beckoning end. And so, but anyway, okay, yeah, I'm fucking, all right, there. So there was a lot.
We can make a part two of this episode if it
I think we'll
needed.
Okay. So anyway, first, so
he's, I come home and he's just sitting, we want some pizza, like real drunk. And I'm like, no, I don't know what the fuck you were watching. I'm pretty sure you had it move from the couch
probably
all day.
BoJack. I was probably
so
watching BoJack.
I go to the bathroom and then I get that Clear Blue Digital, which by the way, just get the digital shit. Don't get none of that one line, two line, three line, like just get the digital. So I pee on it, and then I just kind of waiting to take a dump. Did I have to take a dump? Did I need to? Not sure. Looking at my thighs like, the fuck was going on with me? And then I look, I've turned it upside down and it said pregnant. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, and I was super happy. I was like, I don't know. It was weird. Like, it was scary, but I was super happy. And I couldn't wait to tell. I mean, I know he was like wasted and depressed on the couch. So I don't know if it was the best time to tell him. But what are you supposed to do? Am I supposed to just go to bed and be pregnant? Like, well, somebody judged me, though. Like, this chick was like, she's like, you didn't like do anything special for him and like surprise him. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, being pregnant is enough of a surprise. I mean, what I got to put in a fucking milk dud or whatever.
But that's the thing is, like, I don't know if that chick's been with whoever that is, like, how long she's been with somebody or something. But like, I can tell you that after like 14 years of being together, like, you just want to know shit. You're like, it's not, I mean, it's cool. It's good. It's a good surprise. And when you told me, I was really happy. And you were like, I'm laying on the couch from my perspective.
It's Father's Day, too, so yeah. I had to tell him.
So I was just eating pizza, minding my own business, watching some BoJack or whatever. and then Katie comes in. She's like, look. And I saw it was a pregnancy test.
Well, did you know I was taking a pregnancy test?
No, I had no fucking clue, dude. You didn't even tell me. So, like, you didn't even tell me you were suspecting or whatever. So then, you know, you walked in and you handed me the stick. And I was like, you were like, look at it. And I was like, oh, shit.
Like, yeah, and then, like, the whole night he was just like, oh, shit. Oh, well,
dude,
shit.
I'm still saying that. Like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, so it was crazy. You know, I think first emotion for me was definitely excitement. But, you know, and then it just, I think, like, you don't even understand. I think that's why pregnancy is 9 months, because you really, really, really don't know what that even entails.
So, like, I'd like to say, because I want to hear everything that you have, and I know that that's a lot more than what I have about pregnancy, but we were talking about this the other day, and the one thing that I wanted to say to communicate to people who may be in this predicament soon or whatever is that, like, or were, and see what you guys think, like, to me, you know, it just changed my whole perspective of pregnancy, because everything I had prior to this was media and movies and TV shows, and they're all funny, like, oh, the lady can't move, oh, she's grumpy, and that's, like, barely even the tip of the iceberg of, like, the challenges that a woman goes through. It's such a male perspective on the situation. And I feel like that's all I've ever gotten as a man is man's perspective. And I feel like that did not prepare me for how, not challenging, but how complex and also really beautiful this experience is. Like, it's been totally different than I expected.
I agree, though, because even, you know, as a woman, like, I same thing. Like, what I've seen is just, you know, movies like Knocked Up or whatever, you know. I never really saw the female perspective of it, you know?
Yeah, wobbling around eating ice cream. That's what Hollywood makes pregnancy look like.
And
basically, it's like, pregnancy to Hollywood is my 600-pound life.
And that's how I feel when I watch my 600-pound life. I'm like, oh, this is me. But, yeah, I think, like, it's, like he's saying, it's so complex. And there's so much anxiety that goes along with it. It's just a little crazy, like, you think you get over one hump in a pregnancy and it's like you have 10 more to go through, you know? But let's get into it, because I want to talk about the first trimester. Whoop, whoop, the secret. Shh, that chick's totally pregnant. I can tell by her titties, but she can't reveal it yet. Shh.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm just saying that's probably what people think when they see a first trimester woman, because that's when the titties come. I follow this lady. Her name is Fafion James or something. She's from Wales. I don't know. She's like a OnlyFans Patreon like type chick or whatever, where she posts naked pictures or whatever. But she just gave birth like 2 months ago. And she was talking, I feel like me and her had a lot of similar symptoms. So like my first thing was that boobs get super, super big and super painful. Like the most painful boobs you could ever feel happen. That's just me. So let me preface this. Every pregnancy is different, guys. So if I'm telling these stories, or if I'm telling my experience and you're like pregnant and you're like, oh fuck, you know, I didn't have that, is something wrong with me or whatever, I mean, don't think that. It's just I really, 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 really wish people would have told me this a million times. Every fucking pregnancy is different. Don't be Googling baby center shit. Like, you know, just always talk to your doctor. Like, fuck everybody else. But anyway, I'll talk about my titties still. So yeah, that was one of the first symptoms, I would say. That was kind of hard because you can't sleep on your... I mean, it just sucks. Like, my whole pregnancy, I've been unable to really sleep on my stomach. Because it's like, I'd sleep on my stomach, and then I'd be laying on my boobs, and that'd be really hard.
I've never been able to sleep on my stomach before.
That's weird.
I just can't.
I'm always a stomach sleeper.
I don't know. I guess I didn't realize that about you. Like, I mean, you know, I don't really pay attention, because I'm asleep, too.
But you're always on your back.
That's what she said.
Her pussy and her crack. So other symptoms during first trimester, are you just sleeping over there?
No.
He's literally sleeping.
We're in a bed. I'm just laying down.
So I had really bad nausea. So it's not like a lot of people think morning sickness is like throwing up in the morning, every morning. And it's not true. Like it comes in different forms. So for me, it was just the perpetual feeling of having to throw up but not being able to, and just feeling like almost dehydrated, like I couldn't get anything out, and I had this like weird feeling in the back of my throat, and I can still feel, I can, if I think about it, it was like scratchy but like metal, and it almost felt like I was chewing on hay all the time.
Hay? What is that?
I swear this is a real symptom. It was horrible.
What are you chewing on hay though? And where then, did you like, get hay? When have you chewed on hay?
Like they had this, I don't know, dude. Just imagine what that's what it's like. Then I had this coworker whose breath just smelled like, and it still smells, but like I could just smell him coming a mile away.
That's what she said too. Like, Jesus Christ.
It just smells like freaking dog poop. I don't know what it was, but I was like, oh, just gagging, and he like always burps and stuff. And man, so first trimester was really rough. And then the fatigue was just out of control. Like just feeling just so tired. Well, like,
so you were, what, 8 weeks when... No, you weren't even 8 weeks
no,
when you
I was
went
like
to Alaska and Seattle.
Yeah, I was a little... I was like 6 or 7 weeks. So I found out I was pregnant probably 5 or 6 weeks.
And then we went on a trip across the world.
Yeah, we went to fucking Alaska while I was in my first trimester. And that was rough. Like, I mean, it was hard.
It's kind of crazy how intense building something that small is and preparing for the changes to come, your body, like that, like how sapped your body was from that. Because it's like, you know, the thing inside of you is only what, 3 or 4 cells
yeah,
big,
it's like
at that
tiny
point. But
yeah,
your body knows what it's doing, and it's impressive how impactful that is.
Yeah, and I guess that's another thing that people didn't really, they don't really tell you, is like that first trimester is just really rough. And I guess, I mean, they give it to you, they just hit you with it hard. I mean, the Lord Jesus, he's
well,
like,
it was
okay.
Fucking crazy, dude. Like, I mean, we were partying a fuck ton. I mean, you guys heard our Mardi Gras episode, and if you haven't, you should go listen to it and then think about, oh, like 2 months later, these people were fucking are pregnant.
Like, yeah, remember that.
I'd be all, holy shit, don't do that.
You guys are probably like, the fuck are these people having kids for? I promise we're responsible, okay? But yeah, I mean, I wasn't prepared for that. It was like, you know, I guess like when I thought of pregnancy, it's like, yes, you give up drinking. Yes, you give up caffeine, or, you know, you don't drink as much caffeine. But, like, you don't think about all of the added shit that you have to deal with, you know? And then, so the first trimester was really stressful for me, too, because I had spotting in the beginning. And I just, like, never thought I was, like, just so convinced that our first ultrasound, there wasn't going to be a damn heartbeat because I was spotting. And then I was spotting in Alaska and in Seattle and stuff. And then we had already told Alex's family. I don't know why. I think, it's because, like, his dad and I always, we really like to drink and stuff.
My dad came to visit us before we went to Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to buy you a margarita. And you were like, no. And he was like, oh.
Yeah, that's all I had to say was no. I don't. Like, that's how much of a fucking, like, drinker I am. That, like, I just say no one time. And people are like, oh, if you're pregnant, there's no way Katie would deny a margarita.
Well, I don't know about people. But my dad, you know, I think that my parents were hoping for a grandkid pretty soon.
Yeah. And I don't think any of them expected it, really. Like, I thought it was pretty funny. Or I thought it was fun to tell people, because I don't think anybody expected it.
Yeah.
Even though we've been married, like I said, for...
Well, but we've been together 14 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So literally 14 years.
But that's the thing, though. It's like...
In 20 days from today.
We were together for so long, and there weren't any signs of spermage getting in, you know?
Well, we're just really good at what we do.
Yeah, we do what we love, and we love what we do.
Aim small, miss small. But, okay, so...
So, yeah,
I would say, from my perspective...
Wait a minute. Okay. No, go ahead.
It's okay.
No, wait, go ahead.
I don't need to go.
No, okay.
You go first.
No, I don't want to. I don't know what I was going to say.
I was going to say that, like, for me... I did not expect the anxiety. Like, I always expected it to be like, oh, you're pregnant, so you're pregnant. And like, it's a sure thing that you're pregnant. And, you know, the chances of miscarrying are so small and all this stuff. And, like, you don't expect the anxiety that you get from the, just, you know, from being positive, from being pregnant.
Like, yeah.
That's something that I didn't expect at all.
And it's like, you know, miscarriage is so common, you know, like, mm-hmm. And a lot of pregnancies end as chemical pregnancies. So, like, before the 6th week, you know, a lot of women think that they had a period, but really they, you know, ended up miscarrying. They had a chemical pregnancy. It was just so early, you know. And that's the thing with these pregnancy tests that are early detection. They detect super early, and then you end up having the miscarriage, and then, you know. But I don't know. To me, I also, like, didn't expect feeling so attached, you know, because I always thought, like, oh, you know, if I had a miscarriage, like, that meant something was wrong with the baby, and I felt like I could handle it pretty well. But I think the physiological symptoms of being, the hormonal stuff that's going on that's prepping you to be a mom is like, no, bitch, like, you're gonna fucking love this little thing, this little parasite. You're gonna love this thing to death, and it's gonna, you know, scare you, and you're already attached, you know? So,
yeah,
but no, we got through it, you know. So the first trimester was rough, is starting. And I mean, that was probably one of the most challenging things to go through, was like going through my first trimester, not really telling my job, and then just feeling really sick and like thinking that they probably think I'm hungover every day, and like not really being able to do my job as efficiently as I normally would be able to. That was really hard. And falling asleep at my desk and whatnot. But, you know, I got through it somehow, and, you know, eventually told my coworkers, and I probably told people way earlier than you should, or like what's socially acceptable. But for me, every woman's different. I felt like I would rather people know about it than, let's say I had a miscarriage and I couldn't like tell anybody about it. And I was like, I'm a very open person. I guess that's the problem with me. I mean, I'm super open and I hate hiding shit. Like, I like to be transparent. I mean, I've learned through counseling and things like that, that there's a good, it's protective to not tell everybody every fucking little thing. So I have been working on that, trust me. But At the same time, I don't feel like that would have worked out for me if I would have hid it from everybody, you know?
Yeah, I think I told my manager at like, probably right when you're supposed to tell people at 13 weeks or whatever, just because I was supposed to go into a different job and it was going to be more intense and all this stuff. And I was like, hey, dude, like, you know, I didn't, you know, my bad. I didn't know we were going to be having a kid. So this might be a little bit different, but,
my bad. Did he flog you then?
No, no. I mean, it wasn't I was just kidding. Like, but I mean, it's true though. Like, it does change things. Like, at least on my side, you know, like, it changes my career options and
yeah.
I think it also has had an impact on my priorities too. Like, just insofar as like the amount of time that I now am going to have to myself to work on things that I feel like I should work on, because I know that like I get upset and anxious and depressed when I'm not doing art stuff like writing. So like, and it used to be playing music and stuff, you know, I've talked about that before, like my issues and stuff, but like I have to keep doing this stuff. And I feel like before I had a good balance of like, you know, doing stuff with you and then doing my writing stuff and my painting and drawing and then work. And now I have to take out of one of those areas to dedicate time to a kid, and it's going to be from my work, like just emotionally and mentally. That's always going to be the last thing that I value, you know, is my career, my job. And I've always felt that way, but it hits home more now. I think that was the first thing that happened in my mind during the first trimester, was I spent a good amount of time like evaluating my priorities and being like, okay, like I guess work is going to suffer or whatever. I don't need to focus on a career and climbing up the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
But second trimester was interesting for me, because I think that's when I became attached to the little baby.
Yeah, I think, well, and just to be transparent, guys, like, I think in the beginning of the, like, me and Alex, you know, we've been together forever, so our marriage isn't perfect, and we had a lot of stuff that we had to work through, and I think the pregnancy really amplified a lot of, you know, things that we had to work through. And it took a lot of communication and working on our relationship. And if you think that a baby is going to save your relationship, like, fuck no. Shit makes
definitely made things worse.
It does. It really does. Like, it does make it worse, because, well, and then, you know, like, for me, I think me and Alex were, like, you know, partiers together. That's, like, you know, which is cool. Like, we drank a lot, and we didn't really get, like, we never really faced the problems that we had. And I think once I got pregnant, and then I was sober, and then there was less of that, then we had to, like, really examine shit.
I think that, in my opinion, that was like a phase that we went through for a couple years.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't say like almost 15 years of being together, like, we didn't start out as partiers.
Well, yeah, we weren't like,
we went through high school, yeah, and then moving in together, and then college. And then at the end of that, when we both were moving into our careers and stuff, is really when we started going crazy with the Cheese Whiz. And I mean, to me, it was like, we were already working towards this stuff of bettering ourselves,
yeah,
and exiting this phase of our marriage and our relationship and our activities and social life. But getting into the situation of having a baby on the way definitely expedited that process. And that was very difficult. It was not like, you know, it was like you said a couple seconds ago, like, you got to face the music, like,
yeah, yeah.
It's not making things better.
It doesn't. I mean, it adds a whole other element, you know, and
you want to be prepared for that, for the kid, like,
yeah, you do. And I think that's probably the most important thing. So You know, I'll talk more about second trimester, but I mean, I went to counseling throughout my pregnancy a little bit. I mean, not as much lately because I fucking feel like shit and I can't even like get up and walk anymore. But, you know, I think the best, most important thing to do is my just advice is, you know, really where like the time during your pregnancy is really about self-care and then just making sure that you, like, there's no way that you can ever prepare for it, mentally prepare for a baby, but what you can do is you can work on yourself. And I think a lot of people just don't, they get pregnant and they're like, okay, well, I'm a mom now. Like, everything's gonna change. I'm gonna just automatically love this baby and there's no way I'm gonna have postpartum depression and me and my man are just gonna love this baby together and our relationship's really gonna prosper because of it. And it's like, no, like, it's very, very stressful. I mean, you have to think about it financially. Like, you are on a lot of stress with that. Mentally, it's a lot, you know, especially as a woman going through the pregnancy. Like, you are extremely emotional, you know, and you don't have your regular clutches to go off of. Like, I don't have, like, I can't go out and party or, like, drink or, you know, like hang out with shitty people that I was hanging out with as a distraction from like problems that I was dealing with. I had to actually face them. And it's very lonely. Like, being pregnant is super lonely because most people don't want to fucking hang out with pregnant people. I mean,
it's weird because we were talking about this with Lance yesterday. Like, he moved back to New Mexico and he was one of the people that we hit it hard with and would like go party every fucking at least twice a weekend, and he'd be sleeping at our place all the time and all this shit. Like, but you know, we were talking about the fact that like he came back and during this like year and a half, 2 years away, like all of us who like in our friend group have changed to be, I guess, like, I don't know. I don't want to say more responsible, but well, definitely less calmer. Drinking.
Yeah. Calmer, you know, and yeah, like Lance was saying yesterday, he's like, yeah, I mean, just now you realize like, okay, maybe I probably shouldn't like be puking in a bush, you know, like it's probably a good idea to not do that tonight, you know, and I think we were already at that point before pregnancy, so I think like we were already in that direction. And
well, we were heading there, yeah, but we definitely weren't there yet.
Yes.
And it totally changed, I think. And you having to stop drinking immediately like really made it so I had to cut down a lot.
Yeah,
because I haven't quit totally, but I've come close.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard, like I was saying, just so definitely if you're able to, I mean, I know like therapy is expensive and stuff, but definitely like I would say that's like number one thing to start doing if you do happen to be pregnant and, you know, you don't have you don't have a healthy outlet, you know. I think that was probably the number one thing that helped me through this whole experience. But so first trimester, I was super depressed, and I think it was hormonal. I don't think it wasn't anything else. I was extremely happy to be pregnant. Like, you know, it's something that I've wanted. I've always wanted to be a mom when I was a little girl. Like, I would dream about babies all the time. I like always wanted to hold them, like any little cousins I had, like I just, you know, I loved them. So I was happy about it. It was just, you know, I think because there's these expectations of how you're supposed to feel, like a lot of people, I would talk about depression during pregnancy and people would be like, whoa, it's such a blessing. Like, you need to be happy and stuff. And then you start to feel like already that mom guilt, like it's so pervasive in our culture to like constantly shame moms because they're not automatically 100% happy because they're pregnant or because they, you know, have a kid. Like, you know, we're still our own people. And I feel like your identity kind of gets lost and then people don't really take you as seriously because of it.
Well, and you know, in that same sort of train of thought, like, I think it's interesting to look at the like, what do you call it, helicopter parents or whatever now. Like, I think about the way that I, not that I want to be a helicopter parent or whatever, but I definitely think, like, you know, it's confusing, it's new, it's anxiety provoking, like, you don't really know what you're getting into and what will, you know, what your kid will survive through,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I really like, I see myself like letting off, you know, a lot of that like judgment or whatever, like, oh, that person won't let their kid, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you know, it's because they're human and they're confused and just trying to get by. And you know, sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry. So they're being a fucking helicopter hovering over their kid, but it's because they're trying their best and, you know, they take it too far, but, you know, maybe they dial it back in the hopefully they dial it back in the future.
Yeah.
But it's better than what we got where it was like, dude, my parents didn't know, and nothing against my parents at all, because I imagine that their parents were even less helicoptery. But, like, honestly, like, I mean, shit, dude. Like, I was out drinking and doing drugs when I was a teenager. Like, you know, and all of us are. Like, there's no fucking nothing against it or whatever. You know, fuck it, dude. You do what you do. You explore life. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, also we sort of use our teenage years as an excuse for this exploration. Like, oh, they're just a kid. They're learning. They're figuring shit out. What? But really, that should continue our whole lives. You
true.
Know, it's like fucked up that our brains aren't even developed. And that's when we're supposed to be wild and crazy. And then, but, you know.
Well, they say like in psychology or developmental psychology, like it's called the, I don't know if it's coming of age phenomenon or whatever the fuck. Coming of age, like teenage, like they encourage, like in psychology, it's it's what it is. They encourage teenagers to experiment, but I mean, not with drugs necessarily, but you know, like dyeing your hair, like becoming an individual and figuring out your what you want in life and rebelling a little bit. Like rebellion is really, really healthy in a developmentally, in a developmental sense, you know?
Yeah. And you know, I think
just unfortunately a lot of teenagers like to do meth and stuff during that time, which is not good.
Yeah. Well, and I made bad choices too. Not but you know, like, you know, I think about myself as a teenager and I think that like back then I was a mix of, you know, someone who was totally ignorant and stupid and, you know, short-sighted and the truest form of myself that I could possibly be. Like I wrote my first poetry book during my 16 to 21, those years, and I still think that's good stuff. I wrote a lot of music. I dressed the way that I wanted to dress. I fucking, you know, had my hair cut and all the. I would have my friends, like, every time my hair grew out, I would have a different friend cut my hair however they wanted, and I would just have this weird fucked up haircut for, like, months. But it was like, I was like, fuck it, dude. You know what this is? It's us bonding and being brothers and friends and all this shit. And like now I look at myself and I'm climbing the corporate ladder and trying to fit in and all this dumb shit that nobody should even fucking care about.
Yeah, like, but you're also way nicer.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm not ignorant and stupid and short-sighted. I mean, I'm not as much of those things, I like to think. But I at least know now that I'm always learning. And I just feel like that was a good mixture of me back then and what I am now. Like, if I could, you know, fine tune those two things, then that would be cool.
Oh, you will.
Like, if I could get back to being more brash and unashamed and unforgiving.
Hey, dude, we're accidentally fisting. We just talked about drugs and coming and hemorrhoids.
More like accidentally fussing.
And baking and Instant Pots. And anyways, yeah. So.
What about the third trimester?
Well, and wait a minute. I didn't even talk about my second trimester.
Oh, shit.
God damn, son. So, first ultrasound, everything went good. That was first trimester. Second trimester, that's your 13, think it's 13 or 14 weeks. And these are the golden weeks. And you don't realize it till they're gone. But they really are, unfortunately. I mean, when it was happening, I was like, oh, this is like supposed to be the best time. Like, this still fucking sucks. But it was still a lot better than the first and third, I would say. Your energy levels are a lot better. I think my body adjusted to the hormones, so I wasn't as depressed. Like, this was when I did most of my research, like, as far as, you know, what products to get, and just got a little bit more, you know, actually involved in the process instead of, like, just hiding under a blanket, like, oh, fuck, what am I doing?
I think that's when we started really planning.
Yes.
Because then things were more for serious.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, I would say the second trimester was just, it was really cool because it was like, you know, I finally started showing. So I talked, like, when I posted that story, the scandalous one, and my big old tum-tum hanging out, like, I talked about this on my personal Instagram page, but I think, like, the weight journey and everything, like, pregnancy, I'm really grateful for, because retrospectively, now that I'm almost 38 weeks, I can, like, honestly look at my body now and be, like, really proud of it and look at health in such a different way. Like, before I got pregnant, I was in a really bad, unhealthy relationship with my body. Like, I would constantly worry about, you know, what exact number on the scale I was. It would like ruin my whole day if I was like 5 pounds more than I should have been or something, you know, and I just never cut myself slack, and it caused really bad, just, you know, disordered eating, where I would like either restrict or just binge a whole bunch. Like, there was no in between. I didn't know how to healthily eat because
this is where accidentally fasting came in.
Yeah, exactly. So now they're gonna think it's really dark though, like,
damn, sucker.
But it wasn't.
Shit is fucking dark.
But
welcome to life.
I mean, I think that's just a product. So if you follow any like prominent weight loss people, like Jordan Shrinks is really cool, because she lost way more than I did. She lost like 100-something pounds. But like, when you lose a lot of weight, like, your body almost, especially if you're in a high caloric deficit, your body, it's like it wants to binge because it's so used to eating at such low calories that you're like, you really are starving your body in a way. So it's like, you know, it's like you have to relearn how to, you know, eat normally. And I just really couldn't do it because I didn't want to gain weight. And then pregnancy was just like, listen, bitch, like, you got a fucking kid growing inside of you, so you need to get this shit straightened out. You need to fucking eat, you know, you need to eat
healthy.
Damn,
dude, that shit fucked me up. I gained 20 pounds. I need to start accidentally fasting again.
Well, we can talk about your sympathy weight gain, but yeah, we're going to do a part two of this, dude. We're like an hour in. I haven't even gotten to anything I wanted to talk about.
Shit, folks. All right, hold on. And we will be back next week.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I was going to
finish. Oh, never mind. We're still here. Don't touch that
mouse. I just
wanted
to finish this because I think, so like I was, it's my first trimester, so I'm going to be transparent with you guys about weight gain. My weight gain through this pregnancy, I will follow a lot of other, you know, people on social media that have been pregnant, and they're kind of secretive about their weight gain. And I don't know why that might be, because they don't want others comparing themselves to them. And you know, like I said earlier in the episode, you know, do what is healthy. You have to do what's healthy for you and listen to your doctor, you know. But I would say, so I think at this point I've gained like almost 40 pounds. So I'm like at 37 or something, which at a normal BMI before you're pregnant, they recommend 25 to 35 pounds. So I'll probably end this pregnancy around 40-ish pounds, which is like 5 pounds above the healthy recommended weight gain. But
it doesn't seem like that, like, too much to me. I don't know.
Like, I think, you know, well, my midwife is just not concerned at all about my weight at all, you know, just because I was a healthy weight before. And a lot of it's, you know, like fluid retention, it's your titties, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, but then there's a lot of women that only gain like 15. I mean, it just depends.
But also, like, we saw a breakdown of the weight and stuff, and there is, so you have 50% more blood in your body than you normally do. You got a baby who's like 6 pounds, 7 pounds, 8 pounds. And then the uterus grows to like a trillion times the size.
Yeah, your uterus gets fucking huge. Then your boobs are at least like I think they said 7 pounds or something they gain.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd imagine that's a percentage. But and then you got the fluid inside the uterus, the whatever that is. I don't know.
The water retention, amniotic fluid. I mean,
amniotic fluid. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then you have the fat stores that you need to gain to have a healthy baby. So with my weight gain, it was kind of fast. Like my first trimester, I swear I gained like 10 pounds and I wasn't even increasing my calories that much because you're not really supposed to, you know, you're supposed to just eat normal. And I just gained a bunch of weight, and looking back, it was probably just all fluid. And then that freaked me the fuck out. Like, I would say my first trimester, my body dysmorphia was really bad. And I think that contributed to my depression. Like, I felt like, I don't know. It's really hard when you lose a bunch of weight and when you regain it, like, and I know, you know, logically it's like, yes, it's pregnancy. You have to gain weight. It doesn't mean that you're fat, you know, that's what you need to do. But for me, it was like, it was really hard. It was a mind fuck. And then you have all these hormones going on. You're irrational anyway. So it's like, you know, that was hard. And I think the second trimester, once that calmed down, I was really able to like start like appreciating it, you know? So I got over the initial weight gain. I was like, oh, okay. Like once I got my bump and stuff, I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is what's going on and it's okay. It's healthy. But yeah.
So let's break this up. Let's do, cause we're getting into we're only into second trimester beginning and we got to do one more trimester. Well,
this is like Titanic part one. If you guys seen that, it's all romantic and sweet. And then
damn,
part two,
sucka, here it crazy. Comes.
The icebreaker's coming.
The little iceberger. I don't know. Icebergers.
Yeah, so sorry, I guess I just talked. I mean, that's a lot to talk about.
Shit,
dude.
A
lot of shit. No, it's 9 months.
I mean, fuck, I'm sure that some
and it's shit that I wanted to talk
there.
About during our podcast, but never got to, you know?
Yeah, it's, well, half the time you're always tired, so it's tough to talk about this stuff.
True.
But which is a byproduct of this stuff. So real quick before we go, we're gonna continue this episode. We got all these part twos, motherfuckers. Look at how cool we are to fucking specials and shit. You know, go to accidentallyfasting.com and listen to the podcast. But not only that, check out our stores where we've got shot glasses and all kinds of dumb shit that you can buy, like a bathroom scale, obviously, from, you guys have heard Jerry talking. But, you know, swing over to Amazon, pick up a t-shirt. That's a good way to support us. Or click the link in our description, wherever you're listening, to support us on Anchor. And donate $1 a month or donate $1 and then cancel it. You know, it don't matter. Like, you know, any little bit helps. And we like to think that, you know, an hour or two of our time each week is worth $1. I don't know. If you guys don't think so, then whatever. You can just keep listening for free, freeloaders, cheapskates, and especially you folks in Iceland, because, you know, you guys, you had the bank thing happen when America did, and then you guys put your bank people in jail, and we didn't, so we're still getting fucked. So now you guys are all financially recovered and stable and shit, so just send us an Icelandic dollar, you know, once. That'll be nice. Also, you guys in Toronto and British Columbia, I know Canadian dollars aren't worth that much anymore, but you can still send us one. That'd be cool. Anyway, that's enough of that. You know, be sticking around here, just listening to other episodes until next week when part two of Accidentally Fucking comes out. Because I think that's I think this is an appropriate name for. Because like
is
I was saying,
we accidentally fucking. Can we just? I wanted to think of a good name. Like, come on, accidentally fucking. Nobody's even gonna know that's what that's. not the pregnancy episode. It's not very clear.
We'll call it accidentally fucking colon the pregnancy episode. Anyway, we'll be back. Stay back. Keep in mind that fast hard. I don't remember what it is, but okay. See you guys in a little bit.
Bye.
Recording?